From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. What a week it's been. So full of farce and deceit and downright lunacy. You'd think the moon was closer and brighter and more disorienting than it's been all year. But the fact is, the supermoon comes Sunday, so even heaven can't help us.
I will tell you this in a non-braggadocious way. There has never been a 10-month president that has accomplished what we have accomplished. That I can tell you.
It's true. By bombarding the nation with such a ceaseless and accelerating volume of crazy, Donald J. Trump has actually slowed down time. Never has 10 months passed so slowly. In our office this week, the multiple TV monitors mounted over our heads were filled with stupefaction nigh on to shock as he tweeted graphic anti-Muslim videos by a far-right British hate group and then told the British Prime Minister to mind her own business when she objected, and snickered at the leader of North Korea after it tested its most powerful ICBM yet, and slammed a political foe with a Native American slur at an event honoring Native American war heroes, and revived baseless suspicions about Barack Obama's birthplace, and suggested it wasn't his voice on that Access Hollywood video boasting about sexual assault, for which he'd already apologized, while implying that it was NBC's chairman who was guilty of sexual impropriety, and MSNBC host Joe Scarborough guilty of murder. Most predictably, he proclaimed that his preferred tax bill would actually hurt the rich, would hurt him, while a New York Times analysis found that his family personally stands to gain $1 billion from its passage.
I think my accountants are going crazy right now. It's all right. Hey, look, I'm president. I don't care. I don't care anymore.
But the president's most awe-inspiring accomplishments are trampling on the idea that reality matters, that in fact it has a material impact on the life of every citizen, and marketing the notion that the best of the American press, however imperfect it may be, is not a truth seeker, but just another special interest, an enemy, here, there, and everywhere.
Donald Trump tweeted that CNN International was a, quote, major source of fake news and represent our nation to the world very poorly. This is pretty remarkable.
That kind of thing has an impact. After CNN recently released a report on Libyan slave markets, a TV station there used Trump's claims about CNN to cast doubt on the story. Trump, of course, is not alone in his intolerance of reality. On Wednesday at The Hague, a convicted war criminal received the news that his 20-year jail term would be upheld, declared that he wasn't a criminal, and took a swig of poison. He chose death over life in a world that saw the truth of him. Denial itself is a poison, and it's polluted America's ether. Call it special pleading if you will, but take heed when America's president works so tirelessly to sow distrust in our engines of accountability, our data collectors, our research institutions, our best media organizations, and emboldens others to do the same. Consider the case of Senate candidate and accused predator of teenagers, Roy Moore of Alabama. Here he is at a Monday night rally.
We've seen malicious and false attacks which reflect the immorality of our time.
The effort to discredit journalists reporting the story, notably the Washington Post, has been so crude that it seems even the liars don't care. Last week, an Alabama pastor, among many others, received a robocall left by a so-called Post reporter.
Hi, this is Lenny Bernstein. I'm a reporter for the Washington Post. I'm calling to find out if anyone at this address is a female between the ages of 54 to 57 years old, willing to make damaging remarks about candidate Roy Moore,
$5,000 to $7,000.
Yeah, that is
hold on.
Dude, this
is insulting.
It is. It's the most anti-Semitic.
That's the panel on MSNBC's Morning Joe yucking it up.
I got a little stain from my matzo ball soup.
Obviously, no such person works for the Washington Post, which, by the way, doesn't pay its sources. And then this week,
the Washington Post says it was the target of a sting operation apparently run by the conservative activist group Project Veritas.
The newspaper confronted a woman who falsely claimed that Alabama Senate nominee Roy Moore impregnated her as a teenager.
Turns out she was paid by Project Veritas to make this up, to try to undermine the Washington Post reporting on the Alabama Senate candidate. Tell us.
Project Veritas is the brainchild of James O'Keefe, notorious for launching sting operations against the voting rights group Acorn, Planned Parenthood, National Public Radio, CNN, and many more, often by going undercover to record and then incriminate them through creative editing. In this case, Project Veritas seemed bent on catching a Washington Post reporter claiming that dirt on Moore would lead to his defeat. Instead, the Washington Post did a counter sting, tracking the woman to Project Veritas and confronting James O'Keefe.
Does Jamie Phillips work for Project Veritas? Did you guys send her to speak to pose as a victim of Roy Moore to the Washington Post?
I'm 15 minutes late to this meeting. So I gotta run, but we will get in touch with you, okay?
Recording the conversation with the accuser, Jamie Phillips.
I want him to be completely taken out of the race.
Mm-hmm.
And I really expected that was gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, that, you know, the starting point really is to hear your story, so.
Yeah, we can take a moment to celebrate that the hoaxsters have failed in their mission to undermine journalism. But that mission has wealthy backers, including Donald J. Trump, who in March 2015 donated to Project Veritas. That was before he could do the job himself.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.